So one son was supposed to come to me, he never did.
For an apartment?
Not about an apartment, about some money for the yeshiva, something like that.
Yeah. That was my son-in-law, Engelmeyer, yeah. He came in the middle of the summer just for one day, and then he went back. Okay. So we'll have to come another time.
So, actually, I didn't know that we have another son to get engaged. With whom did he get engaged?
A very sweet girl from Lawrence by the name of Kanner. The girl's father's name is Shia Kanner. The girl's name is Rina Kanner.
So that's a mazel.
Amen.
Benny alone told me who said that.
He was there, yeah.
Yeah, he was saying something.
He's friendly with the family. That was interesting. He conveyed the blessings from the Israeli government. He represented the Israeli government. Okay.
So his father, Menachem Aho.
Yeah. Family of the father is friendly with the family. We started the Mishnah in Soitan Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, the last two lines. The Mishnah starts discussing the Dinim of Duchening. What is it doing in Soita? So we start at the beginning of the Perek. Perek begins with different mitzvahs of Amira. You recite Kiddush and you say Kriyashma and you say Birchas Hamazon and you daven. And all the various, you recite Bikurim, Mikra Bikurim, Chalitza. Which mitzvahs of Amira have to be fulfilled in Hebrew, in the original Hebrew, and which can be recited in translation. So Duchening is a mitzvah of Amira that can only be fulfilled in the original Hebrew. If the Kohanim say in translation, they're not Yaitzeh the mitzvah. So that's why the Mishnah and the Gemara are going to have all the dinim of, most of the dinim of Duchening are going to appear here in the Sugya. So we started last week, the Mishnah Lamed Zainam in Beis, and we learned a little bit into Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. We learned the Gemara requires, when a Kohen does Hakrovas Hakrobonis, has to be Bamida, he has to stand. And the pasuk puts together Kibom Baruch Hashem L'Shor Sod Baruch Bishmai. A pasuk in Chumash Dvarim, the Rabbanu Shlom singled out the Kohanim L'Shor Sod to be Makir Karbanis and to Duchen L'Baruch Bishmai. So the Gemara says Masher is Bamida Avbracha Bamida. Just like when the Kohanim are Makir the Karbanis, they have to stand. There are two dinim. There's one din, no one is allowed to sit in the Azara. Ein Yeshiva Ba'Azara Ela L'Malchei Beis David Belvad. No one, the Kohanim, Kohen Gadol, no one is allowed to sit in the Azara. But just because you're not allowed to sit in Azara, maybe it's only an Issa de Rabbanon, it's unclear. Is that an Issa de Reis, an Issa de Rabbanon, and Yeshiva Bazar? So just because you're not allowed to sit in Azara, doesn't necessarily follow that the Avodah is going to be Pasul. So that's a Mishnah Zvachim. No. If the Kohen does the Avodah be Yeshiva, the whole Avodah is Pasul, you have to do it over again. So that's based on this pasuk that says, Kim Bom Baruch Hashem L'Shorso, Lamed L'Shoris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the Kohanim Lamed L'Shoris, to stand and to be Makar of Karbonis. If they'll do the Avodah HaKarbonis be Yeshiva, they were never chosen for that. It's Nishkin's Kohen, Ois Kohen. He doesn't have the status of Kohen if he sits. So the Gemara says, well, you have a Hekish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the Kohanim L'Shorso L'Baruch Bishmai. He chose the Kohanim they should be Makar of Karbonis and they should give Duchening to give a Bracha. So just like Makar of Zayin Karbonis, they were only chosen. They only have a din of Kohanim if they do it Bamida in the standing position. So too, when they want to give the duchening, they have to stand. So we added on, the Rishonim explained, the Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Rishonim. How do you know that Tzibur has to stand? Maybe only the Kohanim have to stand. So the Gemara learns out later, about five lines from the bottom, that when the Kohanim duchen, it has to be panim keneged panim, and have to be facing the Tzibur. So if the Halacha requires the Kohanim have to stand, so if the Tzibur is going to sit, so that's considered a chisaron of panim keneged panim. Either they both sit or they both stand. So since we have a pasuk, the Kohanim have to stand, because it's like Hakrovas HaKarbonis, they have to stand. So maybe the Tzibur has to stand also, otherwise it's a violation of Panim Keneged Panim.
It's not hard to duchen while sitting?
I never tried, but why should it be hard? The stomach is not too hard.
No.
But the halacha says you're not yaitze. The halacha says the Kohanim are not yaitze. Just like if there'll be Makar of Karbonis in a sitting position, it'll be possible to have to do over the whole avodah. Shechita is good be yeshiva. If you shech, because shechita lab avodah, you don't require a kohen to do the shechita of karbonis, because shechita lab avodah. So if you did, look, atchila, no one's allowed to sit in the azar. But if someone sat, he violated the din, and he did the shechita be yeshiva is good. But the kabbalah, halacha, zrika, haktorah, all that has to be done by midah. whatever needs a kohen has to be bar mila. So then, so the Gemara, we learned some of the brisa. We're up to a brisa. Tanya Yirach, we have another brisa. Each brisa is adding on another layer of halacha in the details of duchening. So we have about 20 lines from the top. The line begins Tanya Yirach. We have another brisa. Kosev Orchu v'nesias kapayim. When the kohen of duchen, they have to lift up their hands. The Vilna Gaon is quoted in his commentary on Tanakh. It's all written by the Talmidim. So he says, you find in Tanakh that they used to daven the priest's kapayim. That Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the Beis HaMikdash, Yifres his kapa v'al Hashem. And the duchening is also b'nisiyas kapayim. But he says there's a difference. Which way do you hold your hands? So he says, when you daven b'priest's kapayim, you have to hold your hands like this. Because you're asking the Rabbanu Shalom, give me something. You're always asking, please give me something. When the Kohanim Duchen, they hold their hands like this, as if they're giving the bracha, as if they're granting the bracha. It just gives a mashal from the first Mishnah Maseches Shabbos. The Mishnah wants to talk about Hoitzor, that you're not allowed to carry from the Rishus HaYochid into the Rishus HaRabim, from the Rishus HaRabim into the Rishus HaYochid. So the Mishnah gives an example. The Balabais is inside the house, and he has money, he has food, and the Ani is knocking on the door, he's asking for an Adovah. So the Ani holds his hand like this, he says, please give me something. The Balabais holds his hand like this, he's giving him money or he's giving him food. So we, when we daven, so we do the priest's kapayim in Tanakh, they used to daven the priest's kapayim like this. They're asking for something. And when the Kohanim Duchen, they hold their hands like this, they, as if they're giving the bracha. The Pasuk says in the beginning, in Chazayin, the Haftarah of Shabbos Chazayin, it says, Uvharischem kapechem alimeinem ekem yidechem domim aleu. The Rabban Shalom says, because they're all involved in murderers, they're all rotzchim yidechem domim aleu. So when they lift up the hands of Uvharischem kapechem alimeinem ekem, I ignore everything that you say. So the Mefarshim say goes on two things. Uvharischem kapechem goes, priest's kapayim when you daven. I'm not going to listen to your prayers because you're a bunch of murderers. You don't deserve anything. A coin who murdered someone is not allowed to duchen because the Baruch Shalom is not going to listen to his brachas. So the term parischem kapechem in Tanakh can mean either this or this, either form of priestess kapayim, but they're really two different things. So the Gemara learns that from Psukim. If a Kohen murdered a Nochri, yeah. The...
You found this in the Torah.
Yeah. The wow. Prima Godim quotes a Prisha on the bottom of the Torah.
The original wasn't a Prisha. And the new one...
It's in the Torah.
You told me that.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, in the old editions, it's missing.
Yeah,
it's missing that if the Kohen killed a Nachri, maybe he may duchen. So it was deleted from all the editions, but they forgot to delete it from the Prima Godim.
Yeah.
The censor didn't read the Prima Godim. He only read the Tur and the Prisha and so on. You know, no one read the Prima Godim. It's in tiny letters. So the Prima Godim quotes such a Prisha, such an opinion from Rishonim, that Ritziche, there's an Issa to kill a Nachri. But somehow, some Rishonim hold that it's not the same level. You're not Chayiv Misa. But does that mean it's not an Issa Ritzicha?
A Nachri goes to war. I mean, a Kohen goes to war and he shoots somebody.
He doesn't fight.
A guy.
Right. So that's Rav Avadia Yosef has a tshuva that if a Jewish soldier is in the army and he kills an Arab in the line of duty, he kills a terrorist.
Right.
So he says he's not possible to duchen. And Rav Soloveitchik disagreed. He said, no. Even if he kills a Nochri in the line of duty, he's not allowed to duchen.
How did Pinchas go to war with the Midian?
Pinchas was chosen as a Kohen afterwards, right.
So this.
No.
He was chosen after.
The army at the
Pinchas was the Mashuach Mochama.
Yeah.
I don't know if that. He was the chaplain. I don't know if he was shooting. No, but he killed Zimri ben Sola. And he killed the Isha Midyonis. Yes. So the Zohar asks that Kasha, and he works on the Teretz on that. How could he, this guy in Pinchas, how is Pinchas permitted to be Makar of Karbonis and so on if he killed someone? So Kohen Sharagas on Nefesh, even though he killed the B'makam Mitzvah, it was a Mitzvah that he killed. Boy, La Ramas Kanoim Poygim Boy. So he did a Mitzvah. So nonetheless, the Zohar holds that that's a problem. Even though he killed B'makam Mitzvah, it's a problem. How could he? The Zohar asked the question, how could he be Makar of Karbonis? That's also a question. When the Gemara says, Hakonsha Horgas on Nefesh, Le'isa Skapa, not allowed to duchen, What about makriv zayin karbonis? Does the psul of hargas hanefesh only apply to duchenin? Because the original pasuk in haftarah of chazayin only says v'firischem kapechem. So the Acharonim quotes the Zohar. The Acharonim on the Mishnayos and Bechoris quote the Zohar, that the Zohar is beferish the two opinions in Tosfos and Yevamos in the first parak. But the Kohen Sharagas on Nev is only possible for duchening, as even possible for Hakrovas HaKarbonis. So they quote the Zohar says beferish, even for Hakrovas HaKarbonis. Yeah. They say even b'shogeg, even if he's driving an automobile and accidentally he kills someone, also he shouldn't duchen until he does tshuva. They say if he does tshuva, then it's okay. But if he killed b'mezid, even if he does tshuva, you shouldn't let him duchen. If he killed b'shogeg and he does tshuva, what shach to do tshuva? He killed b'shogeg. I don't know. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. If he's hargis hanefesh b'shogeg and then he's chayzer b'tshuva, so then he may duchen. Harg b'mezid, you shouldn't even allow him to duchen, even if he's oisah tshuva. So Rav Soloveitchik said, he didn't quote the Zohar, he used to quote the Psukim in Tanakh, that David HaMelech wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, and Rabbanu Shalom didn't permit him to. He said, Dam Rab Shafachta. Who did David HaMelech kill? He was killing all the Arabs, he was killing all the terrorists. So he did, but Makam Mitzvah. Nonetheless, the Rabbanu Shalom said, he doesn't want him to build the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash has to be a Makam Shalom, and Menesat Shalom on Makam Hazeh. So the Rabbanu Shalom the Novi told David HaMelech, you're going to have a son, his name is going to be Shlom, he's going to be an Ish Shalom, he's going to build a Beis HaMikdash, it's supposed to be a Makam Shalom. Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's what it says in Tanakh. Even David HaMelech, who was killing terrorists, also wasn't allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash. Yaakov is in the army and he kills terrorists, also shouldn't do. Rabbi Vad Yosef has a tshuva, he thinks that it is okay. He thinks that since he killed the Makam Mitzvah, it's okay. So here the Gemara quotes a Braisa Tanya Yidach, when the Kohen Duchen says, should be B'nesias Kapayim. How do you know? Vushtei. It doesn't say in Parshas Nasai. Kol Svoches B'nei Sol Amayel Ha'am Yirach Hashem Yishmerech. It doesn't say. So the Gemara, the Braisa Atoim B'nesias Kapayim, that's what you say. Lein Elo Shaloi B'nesias Kapayim. Maybe you can duchen even without lifting on his hands. So the Gemara answer, the Braisa answer is no. Nema kan Kol Svoch V'nema Lahalon. In Parshas Tzav, I think it says, V'yisaren Esiyon Avalon V'yivorchim. So it says, he picked up his hands and he said the bracha. And we assume the bracha is, Rashi says on that pasuk, he gave the brichas kanim. Not time he gave another bracha. That was another bracha that he gave. But this pasuk, he duchen b'nesias kapayim. So we learn that, exereshava bracha bracha. Malahalom in Nesias Kapayim, just like when Aaron completed the Hakrovas Kabbalah Sibur, so he duchen bin Nesias Kapayim, Afkan, so to in Parshas Nasa, when it says, Kosavarchu is B'nai Solom Erlahem Yirecha Hashem Yishmerecha, so the verb Kosavarchu has the same connotation as Vayivorchim. Vayivorchim by Aaron was bin Nesias Kapayim, so too by the Kohanim it should always be, all the Kam should be bin Nesias Kapayim. Freg the Gemara, wait a minute. If you're learning out Gzera Shava, just like Aharon HaKohen was Vayisaron Nesiyot HaBalon Vayivorchim B'Nesiyas Kapayim, so too Kosovochu should be B'Nesiyas Kapayim. If it's a Tzushtel, so maybe Ein Gzera Shava L'Machtza. So you should say the Duchening is only done by a Kohen Gadol, because that Pasuk states a Kohen Gadol. Vayisaron is a Kohen Gadol. And maybe I should, that happened to be Shmini L'Miluim. Vayisaron Nesiyot HaBalon Vayivorchim Shmini L'Miluim. The Shivas Mei Miluim was the last 7 days in Chodesh Adar. And the Yom HaShmini Miluim was Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So maybe Duchening is only Yom HaShchodesh. Freg the Gemara, maybe Duchening, Kasha Leil, Rabbi Yonason, the Tana had a Kasha. Tosa says this is not part of the Braisa. Kasha Leil is Aramaic. You don't have Braises written in Aramaic. So Tosa, the little Tosa says, Kasha Leil, Rabbi Yonason, ain't a Loshana Braisa. The Gemara is relating what happened in the days of the Tanoim. The first Tana said you have Gzera Shove, Broche, Broche, and that's how you know that you need Nesias Kapayim for Duchening. So they have an oral tradition that the Tana Rabbi Yonason to effect Akasha. This can't be Alosh and Abraisa. I Malahalon, this is all Aramaic. So the Gemara is telling over what Rabbi Yonason is. I Malahalon, Kohen Godel, Rosh Chodesh, Vavoyah, Sibur, maybe Ein Gzera Shove, Lamachza, so if you're learning with Gzera Shove, so maybe duchening is only done by Kohen Gadol and only Yom HaShchodesh. I didn't know you can duchen any other day of the month. I didn't know any other Kohen can duchen. And for the Gemara, Mala Halon Kain Gol Rosh Chodesh Avodah Zarah, Ab Kain Kain Gol Rosh Chodesh Avodah Zarah. And for the Gemara, no. Another Tanya, these are all Tanaim. Rab Nosson Neimer, Ein Utzorich, Senish Ken Kasha. You can't say that Duchening is only by Kain Gol. You can't say Duchening is only once a month. Why? Harei Huayma, the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the Kohanim Hu Uban of Kol HaYamim. Aaron HaKohen was chosen, and his descendants were chosen. So he's a Kohen Gadol. All of his descendants are not going to be Kohanim Gedolim. So you see that there's a hekesh between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot. So once a year on Yom Kippur, you need Dafka Kohen Gadol. That's a pasuk. Now, Avodas Yom Kippurim has to be done by Kohen Gadol. That's an exception to the rule. But aside from that case, we have this hekesh Hu Banov, Makish Banov Lo. There's a hekesh between a Kohen Hedyot, all the descendants of Aaron HaKohen, and the Kohen Gadol himself, Mahu B'nisiyas Kapayim, Abana Messias Kapayim. Hakrabas HaKarbanis can be done not only by Kohen Gadol all year long, it can be done by Kohen Hedyot. So too, Duchen can be done not only by Kohen Gadol, it can be done by Kohen Hedyot. On then Uchsiv, it says, Hu Ban of Kol HaYamim. Aaron HaKohen was chosen, his descendants were chosen to remain Kohanim. Kol HaYamim, every day of the month, every day. Not only Rosh HaChodeshim are singled out. They're makar of kabbanis every day of the year, and they duchen. The understanding is they duchen every day of the year. This pasuk, Hu Ban of Kol HaYamim, happens to be talking about hakrovas hakabbanis. It's not talking about duchening. But the Gemara says, the iskish bracha l'sheiris we had before. Ki bom bachar Hashem l'sharsa l'varach b'shma kodesh boch. It shows the kohanim l'sharsa to be for two things, to be makar of kabbanis and to duchen. So since with respect to hakrovas hakabbanis, it says Kol HaYamim every day of the month, not only Rosh Chodesh, and it says Hu Banov, not only a Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur once a year is Mefurish, you need a Kohen Gadol. The rest of the year, a Kohen Hedyot also is Makar of Karbanos. There's no Maila if a Kohen Gadol does the Karbanos. It's not going to be holy a Karbanos. Kohen Gadol is only needed on Yom Kippur. Even a Chumash, it says that you need a Kohen Gadol when you have a Par Halam Dovah Shel Tzibur, or you have a Par Kohen Gadol when the Kohen Gadol is Mechal Shabbos B'Shegek, so he brings a special Chatos and the Parhal and Davashel Tzibur. So in Chumash it says a Kohen Gadol does it, and Rashi on the Gemara says in a few places you need a Kohen Gadol to be Makarvit. So Tosfos says that Rashi is wrong, because even though the Chumash sounds like it says that, it says in Parshas Vayikra you need a Kohen Gadol. So Tosfos says the Sifro comments on that Pasuk that the Pasuk is Lav Dafke. You don't need a Kohen Gadol to be Makarvit Parhal and Davashel Tzibur, and you don't need a Kohen Gadol to be Makarvit the Par Kohen Gadol. If the Kohen Gadol is Mechal Shabbos B'Shegek, he doesn't have to be, he has to bring a special carpet, but he doesn't have to be makrivit. You can have a Kohen Hedyot be makrivit. The only time you need a Kohen Gadol is only on Yom Kippur. So that's all based on this hekesh. Hu Banov Kol HaYamim. Makish Banov Lo, a Kohen Hedyot, Kohen Gadol, it's all the same thing. Kol HaYamim, every day of the year is the same. Except Yom Kippur is one exception to the rule. Everything else is the same. And we have Iskish Brocha L'Sheris, Duchening has the same status like HaKorbas HaKorbanis. No difference between Rosh Chodesh and the other days. There's no difference between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedyot. The only thing is that when the Gemara quoted the Kasha Leila Rabbi Yonason, the Tana Rabbi Yonason was bothered with a Kasha, so the Gemara quotes his Kasha, if you're learning out of Gzeres Shavah Bracha Bracha, that it says in Vayikra Tes, that Aaron gave a Bracha on the Shmini L'Miluim, Vayis Aaron Es Yarev Alom, Vayivorchim, Vayered Me'asos HaChatos V'Hoilo. So the Gemara says maybe duchening is only Kohen Gadol on Rosh Chodesh at the conclusion of Hakrabas Korbanos Tzibur. That was the way he worded the kasha. Imala halan Kohen Gadol Rosh Chodesh Avodas Tzibur. Afkan Kohen Gadol Rosh Chodesh Avodas Tzibur. Maybe you need dafka all three for duchening. Kohen Gadol and Rosh Chodesh and only Hakrabas Korban Tzibur. So when Rab Nosson answers it, he answers based on the pasuk. He only answered two of the kashas. He didn't answer the third kasha. He answered no. He says, Ki Baruch Hashem, Hu Banav, Makish Banav Lo, Kohen Gadol, Kohen Hedyot is all the same thing. Kol HaYamim, Rosh Chodesh, and the rest of the month is all the same. But he never quoted a pasuk to prove that Korban Yochid is the same as Korban Tzibur. So what about that question? Maybe only Duchen at the conclusion of Hakrovas Korbanos Tzibur. They never answered that part of the question. So Taisa says, that is correct. There's nothing to answer. That is the halacha. Taisa says they only duchen every day in the Beis Hamikdash. They duchen after the Tamid Shal Shachar is a carbon seber, after Musafim is a carbon seber, and after the Tamid Shal Bein Abayim is carbon seber. In the middle of the day, when someone would bring, they had hundreds of people came to the Beis Hamikdash and brought Karbonas Yochid, they didn't duchen at the conclusion of Karbonas Yochid. They on Taka, that's correct. They only duchen at the conclusion of Hakrabas Karbonas Seber. That's what we said, the Kasha, the Rabbi Yankif Emden, and Mishnah Berurah quotes Rabbi Yankif Emden, it says, the duchening bisman is only the rabbana. Duchening afilu bisman she beis hamikdash hayekaim could only be the raisa in the beis hamikdash at the conclusion of hakrovas karbonas tibur. That's what Tosis says on the Gemara. Taki only duchen at the conclusion of hakrovas karbonas tibur. So Rabbi Yankif Emden writes in his sefer Morik Tzia and Arachayim, the duchening bisman is only the rabbana. It's only the raisa in the beis hamikdash at the conclusion of hakrovas karbonas tibur. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, and he says it's against all the Gemaras, it's not true. The duchening is deraisa, even bisman hazeh. How can it be? But Tosis says that this was never rejected. Duchening is only deraisa at the conclusion of Hakrabas Karbanas Tzibur. So that's what he said. The Rav Soloveitchik said over the teretz of the Keren Ora, has Mishkan, has Yankiv, the Achreinim, Rav Shlomo Levilna, they all have the same answer. When a person davens Shmoneh Esrei, and he says, Ritzei Hashem Lakeinu Ba'amcha Yisrael Levisfilosam, so Ritzei means, V'nirtza Lo Lechapar Olav. The tefillah should be accepted as if we have brought a carbon. So when a yochid is davening a tefillah sayochid, and he says, Ritzei, so the halacha considers it as if he converts his tefillah sayochid into a carbon yochid. When the chazan davens is saying tefillah satzibur, and he says, Ritzei, so the halacha considers it menater, as if he converts his tefillah satzibur into a carbon sibur. So the bracha Ritzei, that's the bracha that we call Brichas HaAvoida. In the Beis HaMikdash, they used to say, She'oscho l'batcha b'yira na'avoid. Avoida means HaKrovas HaKorbanas. Today, we don't have any HaKrovas HaKorbanas. So we say, HaMa'asa Shechina Asa Letzion. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should bring back the Shechina. We should bring back the opportunity of HaKrovas HaKorbanas. But Ritzei is the bracha that's called the bracha of Avoida. So that's what the Gemara says on Amid Beis. A kohen, in order to be allowed to duchen, has to start walking towards the bima, start walking towards the duchen, the platform, before the chazan finishes the bracha of Ritzei. Because Ritzei is the bracha that enables you to duchen. Ritzei converts the tfilas hatzibur into a korban tzibur. So taka, the duchening is at the conclusion of hakrovas karbanas tzibur. And the Gemara, the way the Mefarshim learn, this is a din deraisa. When you say Ritzei, you already said Shema Kalein, Baruch Atah Hashem Shemea Tfilah. Please answer our prayers. Then he said, "Ritzei Hashem Lakein Ba'amchi Solav Yisfilos," and you should accept the prayers. He just said that Shemea Tfilah. He just said accept the prayers. The Ritzei means you should accept the prayers as if we had offered a korban. It should be V'nirtza Lo Lechaper Olav. So that's what we added. Rav Shlomo Levilna says that's why when you duchen, so when the chazan is in the middle of Ritzei, so we all say a piyut. Our prayer should be pleasant. It should be accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means, Ritzei. That's what exactly what Ritzei means. The tefillah should be accepted as if we offered a korban. So why do we add that piyut to emphasize it? Why do you have to emphasize it? Because that's what enables you to duchen. You can only duchen at the conclusion of HaKrovas Karbanas Tzibur. So Ritzei is the bracha that converts the Tfilos HaTzibur that the Chazan says into a Korban Tzibur. So it is considered at the conclusion of HaKrabas Korban Tzibur. So that's what the Tosfos says. The Gemara only backed out the Tana Rav Nosson answered the two Kashas, Kasha Leila Rav Yonason. The Tana answered two out of the three comments of Rav Yonason. He said, maybe it's only Amash Chodesh, maybe it's only Kain Gadol. So Rav Nosson says, no, the Pasuk says, Hu Banav Kol HaYomim, Hu Banav, same thing, Kain Gadol, Kain Hedyot. Kol HaYamim, every day is the same as Rosh Chodesh, but he never made a comment on the third point. Maybe it's only Korban Tzibur. So Tosfos says, yeah, that's taka correct. That's not wrong. That's taka correct. The obligation to duchen, the ability, the opportunity to duchen, is taka only at the conclusion of HaKrovas Karbanas Tzibur. Then the Gemara continues. V'tanya yirach, we have another brisa about duchen. And Kol Sarach is B'nai Yisrael, when they say, Yivrecha Hashem, Yishmarecha, how do you pronounce the Shem Hashem? Zog the Gemara, B'Shem HaMefayrush. You have to pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei Kich Sovay. Atoimer B'Shem HaMefayrush, that's what you say. Oino Ela B'Kinoi, maybe a substitute, a different name instead. That's what we mentioned last week. Tosfos here quotes the Pirush HaBein Ahilo. One of the, I think he lived in Greece. The Rabbeinu Hill lived in Greece. So he wrote a pirush on the Sifrei. I mentioned last week, I don't remember what the historical background was, but Rabbi Hutner wrote a whole commentary on this pirush Rabbeinu Hill. I don't have it. I just remember my father-in-law had it in his library. So there's some reason why Rabbi Hutner wrote a commentary on it. So Tosfos in Sota only, another Masechtas, not Tosfos in Sota, quotes a few times the Pirush HaBein Hillel on the Sifrei. So one of the comments that he makes is that in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim say, Yivrach HaShem Yishmerech, they pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei, the same way the Kohen Gadol pronounces on Yom Kippur, Yud Kei Vav Kei. But Bigvulin, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you have to say Bikinoi. What do you mean Bikinoi? So he says, Rabbeinu Hillel says he can substitute any one of the Shemus you want. You can say Yivarechecha Elokim, Yivarechecha Tzvakos, Yivarechecha Shakai, any shame. So Tosfos says, that's wild, that's ridiculous. What do you mean? But it says Yivarechecha Hashem. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is a pronunciation of Yud Kei Vav Kei. So when it says, Lechutz LeBeis HaMikdash, you don't pronounce the Shem Hashem Kichsavoy, Shem HaFarash, you say a Kinoi. So you say the Kinoi, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, but you don't say another shame, Tzvakos, and Shakai, and Elokim. How does that come in? It says Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So that's
on this passing.
You didn't find it? Oh, I don't have the pirush at home, so I didn't look it up. I don't know. So the Brisa insists that you have to duchen with the Shem Amfarish. Frag the Brisa, how do you know? Ein ela bikino. Maybe even in the Beis Hamikdash, you can substitute Aleph Dalet Nun Yud instead. Tamaloyma, no, we have another. The pasuk concludes with some Shmi al Bnei Yisrael, Shmi Hamiyuchadli. When the Kohanim Duchen have to say the Shem Hamiyuchad, which is the Shem Hamfarish. Then the Brisa continues, Yochol Af Bigvulan Kain. Maybe even outside of the Beis Hamikdash also, whenever the Kohanim Duchen, they have to say the Shem Hamfarish. So the Tana says that's wrong. No, Shem Hamfarish. The correct pronunciation of Yud Kei Vav Kei Migdush is Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's what we mentioned, the Tosfos Yontem. Mishnayis Yuma has three different opinions from a Kubalim. What is the correct pronunciation of Yud Kei Vav Kei? They call three different shitas what the Nikud is supposed to be. So it says, Yochel Abdik Vulun Kei, maybe even Chutz Lebes HaMigdush also supposed to pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei Kichsavoy. So the Brisa says it's not correct. Nema Kama Samo Shmi Abnei Yisrael Nema Lahalon. The pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch wants us to build a Beis HaMikdash, losam Hashmai Sham. To build a Beis HaMikdash, to be Makar of Karbanos, velosam Hashmai Sham. So the simple meaning is, it should be Hashras HaShchina in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara takes it literally, losam Hashmi, that the Shem HaMiyuchad should be pronounced, should be reserved for pronunciation in the Beis HaMikdash only. When do you pronounce the Shem HaMiyuchad in the Beis HaMikdash? On Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol says, LaShem Chatos, And he says the vidui lefnei Hashem Tetore pronounces the Yud Kei Vav Kei. He pronounced the Shem Hashem 10 times on Yom Kippur. Shem HaFarish 10 times. He said 3 times vidui. In each vidui, he says Shem Hashem 3 times. And then when he said Lashem Chatos, he said that was the 10th time that he says the Shem HaFarish. So the Gemara says the pasuk says Losam Hashmi Sham Malah Halam Beis Habchira. That means only Beis Hamikdash. So to over here, the pronouncing Shem HaFarish and the Duchening is only in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yoshi Yorma Einetzorch, you don't need such a Gzeri Shabbat from the Pasuk Losam Hashmi. He has a different Mashmos. We have a Pasuk that says, Harehu Eimer, the Pasuk in Shmois, B'chol HaMokam Asher Asker Shmi, Ovoi Eilecho Uvei Rachticho. It's a difficult Pasuk. How do you translate? B'chol HaMokam Asher Asker Shmi, how do you translate simply? Any location where I pronounce my name, where I will mention my name, that's what it means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, wherever I will pronounce my name, the Rebbe Shalom is pronouncing his name, wherever I pronounce my name, I will give you a blessing. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? Any location, what does it mean? You have to interpret the pasuk, it's a little bit written out of order. What it means is like this, wherever I will tell you to build the Beis HaMikdash, and that will be a Makam Bracha, wherever the Beis HaMikdash is the center of Bracha, Bracha flows from the Beis HaMikdash, there, ask your Hashmi, I will give you permission, not ask your Hashmi, I will mention my name. I give you permission to mention Shem Amforesh in the location which I will choose, which will be the center of Bracha. Wherever the Beis HaMikdash will be built. In the Midbar, it was the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu that floated around from one city to the other to the other. And then in Eretz Yisrael, it was in Shiloh. Then in Novi Givon, whatever. And then finally later, it was in the Beis HaBchira. So wherever, whatever location will be chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be, wherever the center of blessing will be, center of blessing is Beis HaMikdash, that location will be Asker Eshmi. I give you permission, not I will mention my name, I give you permission to mention the Shem Amfairosh when the Kohen Gadol does the Avodah Yom Kippur and when the Kohanim Duchen every day. That's how the Tanna interprets the Pasuk. So that's how they establish this din. Mishnah has that din. Then one of the differences between Duchening and the Beis HaMikdash and Duchening Bigvulin, the duchening of Beis HaMikdash is Kichsavai, the Shem Amfairosh pronounced properly, Uba Medina Bikinuya. That's the top line on Lamed Chesem and Aleph. It's one of the several differences between duchening and the Beis HaMikdash and duchening Chutz le Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara has another brisa on the second wide line, Tanya Yidach. This is a tricky thing. When you learn Yerideya, it's on the first page in Yerideya, and a lot of editions, page Aleph Amad Aleph. The Mesicht is always start from that base. And a lot of the Shulchan Aruch start from Daf Aleph. Others start from Daf Beis. So on the first page in Yerideya, the first side, the Shach has in the Nekus HaKesev a discussion of this topic. Whenever you have a pasuk that says Dabel Bnei Yisrael, whenever it says Bnei Yisrael, Yosef Bnei Yisrael, so the Tanoim always understand either Bnei Yisrael v'lo Benos Yisrael, either Bnei Yisrael comes to exclude women, or it comes to exclude Gerim, either one or the other. And sometimes you have a machlekes hatanaim. For example, in the parsha of Soita, so it says that if a man is married and is chayshed his wife, he thinks that his wife was not faithful to him, so he has to bring his wife to the Beis HaMikdash and have a drink, the Mayim Hamarim, and a miracle is promised throughout all the future generations that if she's innocent, the nix of an Isra Zera, even if she was unable to have children before, now she will be able to have children, and if she's guilty, there's nothing poisonous about the Mayim Hamarim. It doesn't taste so good. It has a little sand mix in. It's not pleasant tasting. It doesn't have sugar. But it's not poisonous. So a miracle is promised that she'll die or she'll start to get sick and ultimately she will die. So the Tanoim had a machlekes. Was this miracle only promised if the husband is a Yisrael or even if the husband is a Gerim? So they call the wife of a ger, they call a geiris, Mrs. Ger. It doesn't depend on her, it depends on the husband. So that's a machlekes hatanaim, whether mashkim is a geiris or ain mashkim is a geiris. That's a machlekes hatanaim. Why? Because it says in the parsha, b'nei Yisrael. So one Tana holds b'nei Yisrael v'lo gerim. The other Tana says no. It doesn't mean b'nei Yisrael v'lo b'nos Yisrael. A woman can't be married to another woman. So obviously he's talking about a man is married and he thinks his wife is not faithful, brings his wife. So it's hard to tell. Whenever you have a pasuk that says Bnei Yisrael, what exactly does it mean to exclude? Is it to the exclusion of women, like the opening pasuk in Vayikra, Dabar Bnei Yisrael? It says you bring a carbon oil. So the Tanaim say Bnei Yisrael v'lo Bnos Yisrael. What, a woman can donate a carbon oil? So it says no. Well, if you bring a carbon oil, it says V'samachas Yadav, you do smicha, and women are not obligated to do smicha. Women are not permitted to do smicha because when you do smicha, you have to lean on the animal b'chol koichai. Not just that you put your hands on, you have to lean. So if not for the fact that it's a mitzvah to do a smicha, that would be an iser. There's an iser gizah avoda. So that's called avoda. It's not called me'ila behegdish. Me'ila is if you get hanoi. What hanoi does he have by leaning on the behemoth? He would rather stand on his own 2 feet. Unless he's old and he's falling apart and he needs something to lean on, so he wants to lean on the behemoth. But the din of smicha means you have to lean on the animal, even though it's extremely uncomfortable for you. So it's not really a violation of the iser of me'ila. It's a violation of l'sava b'v'chor sherecha. There's an iser gizav aveda. That's aveda. So the heta to lean on the animal is only because you're mechayiv to do the smicha. Women are not mechayiv to do smicha, so it's prohibited for the women to do smicha. So the Gemara has a whole description. In Chagiga, the women felt cheated, the women felt excluded. So there was a machlokes hatanoim. Do we permit them to do imitation smicha?
To touch it.
To touch the behemoth without leaning on the behemoth. So one Tana says permissible, and that's how we paskin. The other Tana says no, we should make exero de rabbanon, because they're going to see that the men are leaning on the behemoth, so they may make a mistake. But tell them, only touch the animal, only put your hands on, float your hands on top, don't lean on the behemoth. So they may make a mistake. They'll see the men are leaning on the behemoth. So do we make exero de rabbanon not to permit the women even just to do akufa yudaycha, just to have their hands floating on top? So that's a machlekes hatanoim, where they make exero. But so there on that pasuk, darshan dable bnei Yisrael, the opening pasuk in Vayikra, bnei Yisrael v'lo bnos Yisrael, that the din of smicha, the din of korban oil, does apply to women. If they want to volunteer a korban oil, you do accept, but the din of smicha doesn't apply to women. So sometimes you might women, and sometimes you might gerim. So here's a shaila. It says, v'somish mi al bnei Yisrael v'ani avarchem. The kohanim should give duchening on bnei Yisrael. So what does it mean? Are you mamayit gerim or are you mamayit women? Who's excluded from the bracha when the kohanim duchen? So the duchening is only chala bnei Yisrael v'lo bnos Yisrael. The women don't get the blessing, or the gerim don't get the blessing. So the Tana says both wrong. The women get the blessing and the gerim get the blessing. So who are you mamayit over here? Nobody. Nobody's excluded. Yeah, but not, that's how the Tana says. Yeah. That's the second wide line. Tanya Yidach have another brisa. All these brises are in the Sifrei on Parshas Nasai. Because the Baruch is Bnei Yisrael. So Bnei Yisrael usually has the connotation of a miut. Either Bnei Yisrael v'lo Bnos Yisrael or Bnei Yisrael v'lo Gerim. So here he says, Ein li'ele Bnei Yisrael, only the men. How do you know Gerim, Noshim, v'avodim Shukhrarim, Minayin? Avodim Shukhrarim is also Gerim. And Eved Meshukhrar. When he's mishtachrer, so that is a kikot and shanela dummy. He becomes like a ger. So how do you know that everyone is included? The Bnei Yisrael here is neither to exclude women, nor to exclude gerim. Sometimes it does exclude gerim, sometimes it excludes women. Here it doesn't exclude anybody. Tamar loimar, amar lahem, l'kulahu. The pasuk amar lahem includes everybody. So this phrase, Bnei Yisrael, doesn't exclude anybody. And another psukim, it's, we don't know. That's what the Nekudas HaKesser writes on the first page in Yeridei. We don't know. Sometimes it's to the exclusion of Gerim, sometimes to the exclusion of women, and sometimes it's a Machlokes HaTanaim. So you have to feel it out. In each Pasuk, what's the Mashmoz? What does it come to exclude?
Rabbi, if you had a minion of just 10 Kohanim, would they
talk about it? The Gemara is going to talk about it right away. The Gemara, I think on this daf. The Gemara says they do duchen. The halacha says, Tosis explains, we're going to learn the Gemara soon. In order to have duchening deraisa, you have to have a minimum of two kohanim to duchen. If you only have one kohen duchening, that's not duchening deraisa, that's only midirabon. How do you get that? Because it says, Kol Tavarcho is Bnei Yisrael, Amor Lohem. So we discussed it last week. The simple translation, Amor Lohem, is the kohanim zon zogen to the Bnei Yisrael. Kol Tavarcho is Bnei Yisrael. The Gemara says a kohen who doesn't duchen is mevatel three mitzvahs. He's mevatel a mitzvah kosav aruches bnei Yisrael. He's mevatel a mitzvah omor lahem. He should say the duchening, and he's mevatel a third mitzvah v'som eshmi al bnei Yisrael v'ani avachem v'som eshmi al bnei Yisrael. State the third time they should duchen. So the simple mashmoes, simple translation of omor lahem, the kohanim should say to the tzibur yivrach Hashem yishmerech. So the Gemara here has an additional level of interpretation that, in addition to the pshuta shal mikra, amar lahem means the reverse. Kol Tavarcho is bnei Yisrael, the kohanim should say the following, amar lahem, when we instruct the kohanim, when we request of the kohanim that they should duchen, when we charge them, when we request of them, we're mitzav of them, they should duchen, so then they should duchen. So according to this additional level of interpretation, amar lahem means just the opposite. We, the tzibur, should tell the kohanim. So since it says lahem, so lahem is plural, so it means you have to have a minimum miyad rabim shnayim. If you have less than two kohanim, there's only one kohen, so there's no duchening derais. The duchening is only going to be the rabbanim. So the Gemara says, what if you have a shul, all the people in the shul are kohanim? So let's say you have 50 people in the shul, they're all kohanim. 50 men in the shul, let's say no women show up. The women all daven at home. Or the women daven in the women's peer group, whatever. So you have only 50 men kohanim in the shul. So who's going to go duchen? So the Gemara says 40 kohanim should go to duchen, and the 10 kohanim should stand there and receive the bracha. Because more correct is the kohanim should say the bracha, and someone should be there listening. So that's fine. What if you only have 10 kohanim in the shul or 11 kohanim in the shul? So what are you going to do? You're going to send up one kohen, and nine people are going to stay, and they're going to send up, let's say you have 11 kohanim in the shul. The whole minyan is 11 kohanim, no Yisraelim. You have 11 kohanim, so you're going to set, you're only going to send up one kohen to duchen. It'll only be duchen the rabbani. You want to send up duchen the rice, you want to send up two kohanim. Send up two kohanim, so you're not going to have 10 people left to stand and listen to the brocha there. So then the Gemara says, let them all go up to the omud. Let them all go up to the duchen, because you're not going to have 10 people left anyway. But if you have 50 kohanim in the shul, so have 40 stand on the duchen and say the Yivrecha Hashem Yishmerecha, and have 10 kohanim stand on the floor, ponim keneged ponim and face them. If you have the whole minyan is only 10 or 11 people, and you won't have, if you'll send up two kohanim, you're not going to have 10 people standing in a tzibur. So the Gemara says, may as well have everybody go up. So who are they duchening to? You have to have ponim keneged ponim. So the Gemara says, am shebasodes, the bracha is chal on the am shebasodes. The Gemara says, but you need ponim keneged ponim. You're supposed to face each other. Am shebasodes don't show up in shul. So the Gemara says, no. If the people are in shul and they don't bother to walk in front of the kohanim, to have ponim keneged ponim, they're not matriach, so they show that they don't care so much about the bracha's kohanim, so then the bracha is not chal on them. But the people who don't show up in shul, they're not even in shul at all. Am shebasodes, if they live too far, then the bracha is chal on them, even though it's not ponim keneged ponim. If you're in shul and you didn't bother to walk in front of the kohanim to have ponim keneged ponim, then you're not included in the bracha. So that's what the Gemara says. If you have the tzibur shekula kohanim, so if you have a big tzibur, 50 people, so have 40 kohanim stand on the platform, on the duchen, and 10 kohanim stand on the bottom, and they should duchen ponim keneged ponim. But if you don't have 50, you only have 10 or 11, and you want to have duchening the rising, you want to have two stand up there, you're going to have two stand up, you're not going to have 10 listening, so ben kovake, you're not going to have 10 people. So have everybody, have all the kohanim go stand up on the duchen. That's how the Gemara is going to distinguish.
You don't have to have 10 people to listen?
That's what the Gemara says, you don't have to. The better is that you have 10. So if you have 50 kohanim, let 40 go up, and 10 kohanim should stand on the floor, on the bottom, and face the kohanim. It should be ponim keneged ponim. But if you only have 10 or 11, you don't even have, if you have 12, so let 2 duchen and let 10 stand on the floor. But if you don't have 12, you have 10 or 11, so tell all the kohanim to go up to duchen. Ben kovako, you're not going to have 10 people listening. Whom are they giving the bracha to? So the Gemara says, Am Shebasonis. The bracha is chal on the Am Shebasonis. That's a big in Eretz Yisrael. They write in the modern Svarim that there was a machlekes, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rav Al Yashiv. I already forgot who said which way. Someone is in the middle of Shtilah Shmoneh Esrei, and the Chazan is right at the end of the Chazaras Hashatz. And Eretz Yisrael, they duchen every day. By Yos, we only duchen on Yontif. So the Shaila rarely comes up. But Eretz Yisrael, they duchen every day. So there's always somebody who came to shul late. So always on, by us, we duchen only Musaf. So what the guys in the middle of the Shtilah Shmoneh Esrei, when they're duchening, what's taking them so long to daven? They're holding by the end of Musaf already. So what's he in the middle of the Shtilah Shmoneh Esrei? But in Eretz Yisrael, it happens all the time. Someone came a little bit late to shul, and he's in the middle of the Shtilah Shmoneh Esrei, and the kohanim are duchening. So it's not ponim keneged ponim. So usually, so you walk over a little bit, but he's in the middle of the Shtilah Shmoneh Esrei, so he can't walk over. Let's say he's davening in the front of the shul, the Mizrach Mant. He came late, he davens in the Mizrach Mant. And the Kohanim are standing in front of the Aron Kodesh, and it's not ponim keneged ponim. So they write that there was a machlokes, I forgot about who said which way. So one of the Gedolim said, let him walk over in the middle of the Shtilah Shmoneh Esrei, let him walk over in front of the Kohanim, and in the middle of the Shtilah Shmoneh Esrei, and make it ponim keneged ponim. And the other of these two Gedolim said, no, he's like Am Shebasodos. He can't budge. He's in the middle of the Shtilah Shmoneh Esrei, he's not allowed to walk around. So he has the status of Am Shebasodos, even though it's not Ponim Keneged Ponim, he'll be included in the Broch. Shaila Halacha Maase, it comes up. What are you supposed to do?
What about the Kohen himself? If he comes in late, does he go up? He's in the middle of Davos.
The Kohen himself? No. When they say Kohanim, when they're mitzvah, the Kohanim to Duchen, so it's understood they only mean the Kohanim who are in a position to Duchen. The Kohanim who are puzzled for some reason or another to Duchen, or whoever's in the middle of davening, so it's understood we're not mitzvah them. We're not mitzvah them, so there's no issue.
But yet if you were the Shliach Tzibur, there are places where the Kohen actually goes up.
Yeah. He's allowed to. We're going to see soon. The Mishnah Bracha says he's allowed to.
The person's davening on the side. I mean, he's a Kohen too. Why should he be different than the Shliach Tzibur?
Shliach Tzibur, that's a Takanas Chachamim, should have Duchening in the middle of Chazoras HaShatz. There never was a Takanas Chachamim to have Duchening in the middle of Tefillah Balachash. He's supposed to come on time. This guy's davening late. So that's not really part of the Takanas Chachamim, to have Duchening in the middle of the Tefillah Balachash. So that's... Right. Right. But the Chazan is saying Ritzei in the Tfilas HaTzibur. So you have Duchening, but the Shaila is, if he's a Kohen, he's a Kohen who's in the middle of Shtel Shemoneh Esrei, he's not supposed to go to Duchening. That's for sure not. We're not calling upon, when we say Kohanim, we don't mean him. When we ask Kalu Kohanim to go wash their hands, we don't mean him. But the Shaila is, he's a Yisrael or whatever. Is it proper for him to walk in the middle of the Shtel Shemoneh Esrei, to walk in front of the Kohanim, to have Panim Keneged Panim? What do you say? No, he's like Onus, like the Am Shebasados are Onus. So the bracha is chal on him, even though it's not going to be Panim Keneged Panim. So they write that this was a dispute.
Are we passing?
I don't know. Ma'ase Mechol Yom in Eretz Yisrael. Right. Then we're up to the next Gemara, Tanya Idach, that's the third wide line. On Lamed Ches, Tanya Idach, there's another Brice, the Kos of Aruch upon him can I get upon him. The Kohanim have to face the Tzibur. They can wash their own hands. How many is that the Levim wash? If you don't know the Levi, so the Bchor washes. But Mikra Adin, the Kohen can wash his own hands. And the Gemara never says that the Levim have to wash. That's from the Zohar. That the Levim wash the Kohanim's hands. Then the Zohar says the Levim should wash their own hands first before they wash the Kohen's hands. And then the Achrayim say even on Yom Kippur, when you're not allowed to wash your hands, only when it's when you're mechuyev to. So not only can the Levim wash the Kohanim's hands to enable them to duchen, since the minig is based on the Zohar that the Levim wash their own hands first, so even that's mutter on Yom Kippur, if that's the minig amokim, that they wash their own hands.
So you have a minig of 12 people and you're 4
again, if you have a minion of
10, 11 people,
and they're going to walk out of the shul to wash, that's taka. That's talking not right. No, the Gemara says in Megillah that there are a whole bunch of things that you need a asora, chazara sashat, you need a minion. So it says in Mischilu, if you started with a minion, then the minion ran away in the middle. Let's say some people have to run to work on the weekday, so they leave the shul, and when you finish the chazara sashat, you don't have a minion anymore. So the Mishnah says in Mischilu basora gomrim, the Brisa says, if you started with a minion, then you can continue to. Till the end of that unit. You continue till the end of the Chazaras HaShatz, and then you can say the Kaddish at the end. Let's say you started Kriyas HaTorah with a minion, in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, the minion disappeared. So the Mishnah says you can complete the Kriyas HaTorah. That's a Shaila, the Kesef Mishnah. On the side of the Rambam, Rabbi Yosef Kara writes a Sofik in the Kesef Mishnah, Bizman HaTanoim, the one who got, let's say, Sheni V'Chamishi. So the Kohen gets the first Aliyah, Kohen Levi Yisrael. So the Kohen said Asher Bacha Banu, and the Yisrael said Asher Nasan Lanu, and the Levi didn't say any bracha at all. You treated the whole Kriyas HaTorah like one big unit. There was a bracha lafana before the first Aliyah, bracha shalachare after the third Aliyah. Then the Gemara says in Megillah, in the days of Abai Verov, in the days of Rabbi Shmuel in Bavel, they changed the practice because they were mipnei hanichnasim ha'ayotzim. There were people. It was like a train station. The people going in and out of shul. So the people who had come late missed the bracha shalafanah. They didn't hear shabacha banu. People who were leaving in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah they didn't stay so long that they should hear Asher Nasan Lanu. So Rav Shmuel instituted a takana that every oyla latorah, every person who gets an aliyah, should say his own bracha before and after. So the Kes Mishnah writes he's not sure that din in the Mishnah in the Brisa Megillah that you need a minyan for Kriyas HaTorah v'meschila ba'asora goymerim. If you started with a minion, you finished that unit. What do you mean you finished that unit? Does that mean bizmana tanoim that the whole Kriyas HaTorah was one unit? There was a bracha before and the bracha at the end of all the three aliyahs. So you can finish the whole Kriyas HaTorah and you say the Kaddish after. Because the whole Kriyas HaTorah is one unit. Maybe Bizman HaZeh, that each Oilel HaTorah says his own Brocha, so maybe finishing the unit means finishing that Aliyah. Maybe you just finish that Aliyah and you say the Kaddish at the end. So he's not sure. The Achrayim are not sure how to paskin on this Shaila. So if it happens, some shuls it happens, in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah and Sheni Mechamishi, so many people run to work, they can't stand there forever. So people have to go to work. So you realize you don't have a minion. So if it happens, the best thing to do would be to follow the practice that they had in the days of the Tanoim. Let's say in the Kohen, in the middle of the Kohen Aliyah, the Balkari turns around and he sees they don't have 10 people. You have to have 6 people. You have to have a Rav minion left. You don't have a Rav minion, you don't even finish the unit that you started. So if you turn, the Balkari turns around, he sees he only has a Rav minion, doesn't have a whole minion. So the best etzah would be, the Kohen should not say the bracha shenasan lana. He should call up a Levi, he should not say any brachas. He should call up the Shlishi, he should only say the bracha at the end. You should go back to the practice in the days of the Tanoim. Days of the Tanoim, the whole Kriyas HaTorah was one unit. So that's the Brisa Megillah. Mischila Basara, Gomrim. So then you can finish the Kriyas HaTorah and say the Kaddish after the Kriyas HaTorah. The Pashtus is that you only say the Kaddish after the Kriyas HaTorah. Let's say in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, the minion disappeared. You only have 6 people. So you can finish that unit. What says finish that unit? You finish the Chazaras HaShatz, and then you say the Kaddish after. You can't learn Kriyas HaTorah. That's a new unit. You have to start Kriyas HaTorah with a minion. In the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, the minion disappears. So you should only finish the Kriyas HaTorah. Best is not to have everybody say brachas before and after. Just have the last one say the bracha after, like in the days of the Tanoim. Then you say the Kaddish after. Can you say another Kaddish after Uvol Tzion and another Kaddish after Aleinu? So the Pashtus says no. That's a new unit. Once you say the Kaddish after Tachnun, that's basically the Kaddish after the Shemon Esrei. You say the Kaddish after Kriyas HaTorah, so finished. Right, the Mishnah Berurah quotes Rabbi Kivega. They say if the minyan disappeared, they're not talking Sheni Mechamishi, let's say another day, the minyan disappeared in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, so the Chazan should say the Chatzi Kaddish after Tachnun, and then it should say the Kaddish Tiskabel after Avol Tzion. That's what the classical Poskim say. So that's problematic. What's that? Is two Kaddishim? Why are you starting another unit later on? That's problematic. That's what Rabbi Kivega says like that. You say the both Kaddishim. The question is why? You should really, if you see there's no minion, you should really leave out the Kaddish in between Tachnun and Ashrei Avol Tzion. You should only say the Kaddish after Avol Tzion. Or you should say Kaddish Tiskabel now. It's problematic that the Poskim, class of Poskim say, they say two Kaddishim. So the Mishkan HaSiyankiv is very unhappy. He's not so thrilled about all these extra kaddishim. He thinks he should chisel down on everything here. In some shuls, the shaydas come up every day. Other shuls comes up only every Monday and Thursday, the shaydas come up. Some schools comes up in some schools. They just barely have a minyan. And then one kid walks out of it. Most of the kids are not bar mitzvah. And those who are bar mitzvah, you just barely have a minyan. And then someone walks out in the middle, a zois minyan. So they have the shaydas all the time.
In that example of the 8 and the 4, only 2 Kohanim would actually go up. I mean, that would never happen, the 8 and 4, because then you'd always keep the minion.
Right, you should always have 10 people listening. So if you have 4 Kohanim, only 2 should go duchen, and the other 2 should stand on the floor. So you have 10 people listening to the duchening. That's what the Gemara says on Amud Beis. Right. So that's what the Gemara quotes. Tanya Yidach, we have a Barsa, Kosovach should be Panim Keneged Panim. Atarma, how do you know? Ein Ola Afilu Panim Keneged Oref. Maybe even if the Yisraelim turn their backs to the Kohanim, maybe you can give the Bracha even though if you're not facing. So the Gemara name, Talmalayim, Amar Lahem, said the Kohanim Shaduchin, Amar Lahem, Kodim Haim, Alachaveir, like a person talking to his friend. Normally a poor person talks to another one as Panim Keneged Panim. So that's the Halacha should be Panim Keneged Panim. Rabbi Yankif Emden writes, Rabbi Yosef Kara writes, that during his life, he writes in the Kesem Mishnah, and he writes in the Beis Yosef, that during his lifetime they started the minig of putting the talis over the hands. Because there's an issue that Tzibur is not supposed to look at the hands of the Kohanim, so, and every so often people did look at the hands of the Kohanim. So they instituted a minig in the 1500s. The Kohanim cover up the hands and fire thing. So even if you look, you can't see the hands. So always problem. So the Kesef Mishnah writes, he's not sure. There's a Mishnah Megillah that says that a Kohen Sheyesh Lo Mumim, Mipon of Yodav Averaglov, is not allowed to duchen because it's going to draw attention. They're going to start looking at his, he has something wrong with his eye, he has something wrong with the, he has a wooden leg or something. If he has some kind of a problem, and so if the people see him all the time, he always lives in the community, so they're used to it already. So they're not going to stare anymore. But if he's a stranger, and they hardly ever see him, so we're afraid someone's going to stare at him, and then by mistake they're going to look at his hands, and they're not allowed to look at the hands of the kohen. So Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in the Kesef, he's not sure. Rabbi Zman Hazeh, since they started this minig, the kohanim cover their hands, so maybe the whole din in the Mishnah doesn't apply anymore. He raises it as a suffix. By the time he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, years later, he was ready poshed this suffix, that the din in the Mishnah does not apply. He threw out a whole Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Megillah that says a kohen has mumim, a part of Yodav Averaglov, is not allowed to go up to Duchen, because it's going to draw attention and the people are going to stare at his hands and it's not permissible. So Rabbi Yosef Kari writes in the Shulchan Aruch, Bizman Hazeh, the din in the Mishnah no longer applies, because since the Kohanim cover the hands anyway, you can't see anything anyway, so the whole din de Rabbanon doesn't apply. That's how he writes in the Shulchan Aruch. So Rabbi Yankif Emden writes in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, he thinks that this minig is improper. Since the din requires panim keneged panim, so if the Kohen is going to cover his face, so there is no, that's normal when I want to talk to you. So you put a cloak in front of your face and you can't see the other person. I don't know, they told me some of the Mekubalim in Eretz Yisrael do that. You come to visit a Mekubal, so he wears a cloak in front of his face and he talks through the cloth. So the Gemara says that that's not normal. The Gemara says normal is Kadim Hamdabra al Chaveiro, is Panim Keneged Panim. Rabbi Yankev Emnes says that the Hitain is that you're not Yetzi Duchani. If the Kohen has a talus in front of his face, it's Feltus and Panim Keneged Panim. But the minig is
by the satleif. When you say by the satleif, you should cover up.
Okay, but there's no halacha panim keneged panim there. But here by duchening, with the brayser requires panim keneged.
What if the tzibur covers its face?
Same problem. Rabbi Yankin family holds that that'll be a problem. Yeah. Yeah, that was the minig. Rabbi Yankin family stands alone. Everybody else feels that it's not a problem. As long as the faith, I mean, it is a good taina. That's not normal. But that's not the accepted practice. It's just that the Mishnah Brewer writes that there were two practices in Europe, what they did. Mishnah Brewer lived in Poland. So he writes that where we live in Poland, the meaning is the Kohanim cover their face and their hands are exposed. So what do they gain by covering their face? They don't want to look at their hands. So I solve my problem. So I put a talus in front of my hands and I have my hands exposed. So you got a problem. So you have to figure out what you're going to do. That's your problem. I solved my problem. I don't want to look at my hands, so I put a talus in front.
Why and then I look at my hands?
Just like the tzibur is not supposed to look at the hands of the kohen, so the kohen is not supposed to look at his own hands either. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, the Shechina was sure on his hands. So in the Beis HaMikdash, for sure it's not proper to look at the hands of the kohen. So even Begvulin also, it's not proper. Up to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah Brewer writes that in Poland, the minig was where he lived in Radin, minig was the Kohanim only covered their face, they didn't cover their hands. He writes, and in Litte, the minig was not so. The minig was that the Kohanim covered their hands. So then he says, so then, that was the minig of Rabbi Yosef Karo. Rabbi Yosef Karo writes, the minig is the Kohanim covered their hands, not they covered their faces, that they shouldn't see their hands. They cover their hands so the tzibur shouldn't be able to see. So the Mishnah Brewer writes, so in Lithuania, where the minig is that they cover their hands, so then the Mishnah is thrown out. The din in the Mishnah that the Kohen Sheyesh Lo Mumim B'Pon of Yodav Averaglov is not allowed to duchen no longer applies Bizman Hazeh because he can't see his hands anyway. There's nothing to see. His hands are covered up.
And the reason for the public should not look at the hands of the Kohanim, doesn't it apply to the Kohanim themselves?
Also shouldn't look, right.
So this is why they're covered.
Mm-hmm.
They cover their hands for themselves.
They cover their faces so they shouldn't see their hands.
Yeah.
In Poland, they cover their faces. And in Lithuania, they cover their hands to solve the problem of the tzibur. But then the Kohanim have to be careful not to look at their hands. And others had a minig, the Kohen wears the talus with the talus separates between his face and his hands, and then the talus goes down again. So neither he can see his hands, No, the tzibur can see the hands.
Okay.
But most of the kohanim don't do like that. I think most of the kohanim, as I seem to notice, most of the kohanim have the talis straight, so they have to close their eyes not to look at their own hands, and they solve the problem of the tzibur. The tzibur can't see the hands even if they look all they want, unless they crawl under the talis. But the tzibur can't see the hands. And their problem, they close their eyes. Okay, their problem, they close their eyes.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
In the Alter Heim, they used to have in the Machaires of the Kohanim, they had the two kapayim, ungekritz. When did they start this minhag?
I don't know. He says in the cemeteries in Europe, when they would have a matzeva for a kohen, they would have stretched out hands engraved. So when did they start this custom? I don't know. You have to ask Shneel Lyman. Mr. Hill, no. I don't know.
There's no problem with the toning, closing his eyes?
I don't think so.
Why wouldn't that be the toning?
Some people do close their eyes when they talk. Sometimes it's annoying to the listeners, but some people do close their eyes. I don't know. Then we have four lines from the bottom. Each brisa adds on another detail. Tanya Yidach Anach, a brisa, Kosovarcha b'kol rom. The Kohanim have to say the duchening out loud. How loud? Oyin ala balachish, maybe they can whisper. Talmalam, amolahem, Kohanim shayim alachaber. You have to say it loud enough that the other person should hear. So it doesn't mean the Kohanim have to scream on top of their lungs. If the whole tzibur is in front of the shul, so they can whisper. If they'll whisper, the tzibur will hear. If there's a tzibur all the way in the back, so they have to scream the duchening loud enough that all the tzibur, all the people in the back, should be able to hear. That's the shir. Kohanim shayim alachaver. Okay. Omar Abai, here goes the din that we said before. Duchening deraisa, that's the Taisus and Menachas, quotes the Rabbeinu Tam. Duchening deraisa is only if you have two or more Kohanim. Because it says, Omar Lahem, the Pshuta Shalmikam Omar Lahem is the Kohanim should say to the Tzibur, Yerech Hashem Yishmerecha. And the additional level of interpretation is, Kos Varchas Bnei Yisrael, the Kohanim should say the Broche, Omar Lahem, when we request of them. When the Tzibur requests of them. So since it says Omar Lahem, so Mi'ud Rabim Shnaim, you have to have a minimum of two Kohanim. So Omar Abai, Abai says, Naktina, we have a tradition. You have a Masar, the Shnaim Kore Kohanim. If you have two or more Kohanim, then you metzabe. Kohanim, we are demanding of you, we are requesting of you, that you should duchen. Le'echer, if there's only one Kohen, so he's not mechuyev to duchen min ha-Torah. He's not even mechuyev to duchen, it's midirabbanon. I don't know if he's mechuyev to duchen midirabbanon, or it's a rishus. If he wants to, he can duchen, but it's not the eager duchening deraisa. So he said,
there's a father and a son, and the son's not bar mitzvah yet.
I think it's only if you have two adults, if you have two after bar mitzvah, then it's going to be their eyes. You can't say you mitzvah a cotton. I think it probably says like that. So you have to have a minimum of two people who are bar mitzvah. So Abai says, if you don't have two, lechot any kore kohen. You don't call out at all. The bottom Tosfos quotes the Rishalmi that there are two opinions. What if you only have one kohen? So what do you say? So one opinion in the Rishalma is you still say Kohanim. There's only one Kohen. You always say Kohanim, even if there's only one Kohen. The other opinion is no, you say Kohen. That's what a lot of Chazanim do. When they see there's only one Kohen, so they adapt and they say Kohen. But the Bavli doesn't follow either of those two opinions in the Rishalma. The Bavli says, Amar Abayi, Naktina, we have a tradition. When there's only one, you need to scream out Kohanim. Nor do you scream out Kohen. You don't call at all. Because the calling out is a tzivui. We demand of you to give a bracha. And the demand is only in place if you have a minimum of two. If you have less than two, you're not mechuyev min haTorah to duchen. So you don't request. He duchens on his own. In fact, some had the practice, this is against the Rambam, some have the practice, in Shulchan Aruch there are two opinions about this. When our minig is when the Kohanim duchen, so the Chazan says Yivarechecha, and they scream out Yivarechecha, Hashem, Hashem, Yishmerecha. So the question is, why does the Chazan say word for word? So in Shulchan Aruch they give two reasons. So one reason is the Kohen may not remember what we're up to. So he's not going to remember what we're up to. The first word he's not going to remember Yivarechecha. If they say the first word, he may forget the singing a nigun. He may forget, but the first word he's not going to forget. So that's why many have the practice, the first word you don't call out. The Chazan only calls out starting from the second word on. He may make a mistake. Pardon me? Right, right. So the Mishnah Berurah says, based on that, just like there are those who don't call out the first word, Yivarechecho, because he's not going to make a mistake, so the Mishnah Berurah thinks that by Tkiyos, the Makri shouldn't call out the first Tkiyo. There's no Shaila about the first Tkiyo. After the first Tkiyo, then you have a Shaila, maybe he should blow it over. Maybe the first Tkiyo was Puzzle. Maybe it's time for Shvarim Truah. Maybe it's time for Shvarim. Maybe it's time for Truah. So the Makri has to paskin, has to call out what comes next. Should he do over the tkiyah? Should he blow this? Should he blow that? Should he blow the other thing? But the first tkiyah, you got to start off with the tkiyah. So the Mishnah Berurah recommends you shouldn't, the Makri shouldn't call out the first tkiyah. Right.
It seems to me, I may be mistaken, that you suggested not to repeat the Yevarechu, for the Kohel, I mean. The Kohen says Yevarechu, the Shem, and so on, but the people that are listening don't have to. Maybe I'm mistaken, but
no,
I
they
thought
don't.
So.
The Tzibah doesn't say Yevarechach, only the Chazan says.
And the rest? And the rest of it?
The rest of what?
Yevarech Hashem Bishmareichu?
Yeah.
Are we supposed to repeat it?
No, the Kohen says that. The Chazan calls out Yevarechach, and the Kohanim scream out Yevarecha. Then the Chazan says Hashem, and they scream out Hashem.
And what about the Kohel?
The Kohel, either they say the Psukim, or they look at the Psukim. We'll have to discuss that.
Okay, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I didn't.
But they don't say Yevarecha Hashem Yishmerecha.
Okay.
So the Shad is, what is the Inyan that the Chazan says word for word? So in Shulchan Aruch, they have two reasons. So one reason is, we're afraid maybe the Kohanim forgot what they're up to. That's the reason. So they say, you don't have to call out the first word, Yivarechecha, that they know you start off with Yivarechecha. So the Chazan should only call out, starting from Hashem, the Yishmerecha. The other reason that's given in the Shulchan Aruch is no, they quote a Medrash, that Amor Lahem means the Chazan should be Mitzaveh, the Kohanim. He has to say, Kohanim, we want you to give a bracha. Then he says, Zog Yivarechecha, like pulling teeth. Zog Hashem, Zog V'Yishmerecha. He calls upon the word for word. So that's our practice, that the Chazan screams out even Yevarechecha, even the first word. That's part of the Tzivui. He's not only does he mitzvah Kohanim give a bracha, he's mitzvah word for word, say this, say that, say the next word, say the next pasuk, word for word is mitzvah. So that's what some had to practice, this against the Rambam, some had to practice when you only have one Kohen, and we follow the Bavli, not the Yerushalmi. Tosafot quotes the Yerushalmi brachas has two opinions. When there's only one Kohen, either you scream out Kohanim or you scream out Kohen. So we follow Abai, neither. You don't scream out Kohanim, you don't scream out Kohen, because the screaming out Kohanim is a tzivui. You have no right to be mitzvah. You can only be mitzvah. There's a minimum of two when he's mechuyev min haTorah teduchin. So not only do you not scream out Kohanim, you don't scream out Yivarech Hashem Yishmerech either, because the calling out of the words is not a chashash Hashem yiteh. It's because we want to give a tzivui word for word. Duchin, you're not allowed to be mitzvah. You're not supposed to be mechayev him. You can't be mitzvah him. The Rambam writes not so. The Rambam writes when you have one kohen, so you don't scream out kohanim, you don't scream out kohen, but you still say Yivarechecha, and he says Yivarechecha, you say Hashem, Hashem, Yishmerecha, Yishmerecha. The Rambam writes beferish that you do say word for word.
Didn't you say last week that anybody can go over to a kohen and ask him to do it?
Right. You mean you're going to have to go over to? You have to go over to two. You have to go over to two kohanim. Go over to one is nishginuk. You have to be mitzvah two kohanim, a minimum of two. That's the Gemara. What?
Are you saying it?
Yeah.
I don't either.
So the Tosfos in Brachos talks about the lakeinu lakeavaseinu. Lakeinu lakeavaseinu, strictly speaking, is only when there's no duchening. So the Chazan wants to say bimkaim duchening as a substitute, etc. So he says alakeinu kevaseinu. Whenever you have duchening, so the kohanim going to duchen. So what do you mean? Why should the Chazan say b'cheder barbracha mishloshes bater aksuva? What do you have to say it for? It's not necessary. So Tosfos says, yeah, but who's supposed to scream at kohanim? Who's supposed to say yivarechecha? So the Gemara in Tosfos is medayik. The Gemara in Bracha seems like to have Gabai, a Chazan Hakol. The Chazan, see, we call the Shliach Tzibah the Chazan. In the Lashon HaGemara, the Chazan is the Gabbai in the Shul. The Shamas are the Gabbai. So the Chazan HaTzibah is supposed to scream out Kohanim, like in Eretz Yisrael. The Rav calls out Kohanim, or the Gabbai calls out Kohanim. The Chazan doesn't say Kohanim. So the Tzibui that they should duchen should really be from the Gabbai, and the Gabbai should say Yivarech Echo, he should be Mitzavah them word for word. So Taisa says the Chazan really shouldn't say it because it's a hefsik in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei. What's he saying Kohanim for? So in order that it shouldn't be considered a hefsik, so Taisa says if you want that the Chazan should say Kohanim, the Chazan should say Yivarech Echo, he should say word for word. So it has to somehow blend into his Chazaras Hashatz. So the way to have it blend in is recommend the Chazan should start the Lakenu Kamsen Bachin Babrochim Shalashas Batera, Maide Kohanim. And he says the whole paragraph. He says everything. So it blends in with Shemoneh Esrei. But in Eretz Yisrael, when they don't have the Shlech Tzibur say Kohanim, they have a Gabbai, so there's no need for the Chazan to say Lakenu Kevaseinu. Because Mikra Adin, you only say it as a substitute. When there is no Duchening, then you say Lakenu. When you have Duchening, you don't need it. There are more rights. When the Chazan is going to, when the Shlech Tzibur is going to say Kohanim and Yivarech Echo, so you should say Lakenu Kevaseinu Balachash, softly till he gets up to the right Kohanim, he should scream out loud, and then when he gets to Yivarech Echo, he should say that out loud. That's how it says in the Ramah. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's not right. He thought that more correct is whatever the Chazan says is only meaningful if he says it out loud and you have nine people listening. So he said, what do you mean he's going to say Balachash? Okay, he's going to say it softly, no one's going to hear him say. Whatever he says and no one hears doesn't count. He's the Shliach HaTzibur. So whatever he says only counts. If he says it, then the Tzibur is listening. So the Rav thought that more correct is if the Chazan is going to say Kohanim, he should say the whole Kohanim Kavaseinu out loud, and then he should scream Kohanim with a double meaning. One meaning, he's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us the blessing that the Kohanim is supposed to recite. And another meaning is Kohanim, I want you to give us the blessing. And then he says Yibarach HaShem Yishmech, also double meaning. One meaning is HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the blessing that says in Chumash, and he also has intention. He's telling the Kohanim, Zog Yivarech Echo, Zog Hashem, Zog Yishmerech.
It's very difficult to learn the Halacha. Listening to all this, it's very difficult to decide what are you going to do.
No, not so difficult.
To me, it's okay.
Not so complicated. So that's what Abai says. Naktina, we have a tradition. Lishnaim, if you have two or more Kohanim, you scream out Kohanim. Ule Echod, if you only have one Kohen, then you don't scream out Kohen, you don't scream out Kohanim, you don't say anything, because you can't be mitzvah them, because men HaTorah, they're not mechuyev to do them. Shenemar, Omar Lahem, Lishnaim, this is the additional level of interpretation. The B'shutu Shal Mikra, Omar Lahem, is the Kohanim should tell the Tzibur. Lahem goes on the Tzibur, on the Klal Yisrael. And the additional level of interpretation is Faket. Omar Lahem, the Tzibur should request of the Kohen Lahem, to the plural of two Kohanim or more, that they should do.
In other places it says V'onisu V'omartu, and we say B'koil Rom.
Yeah.
So what is the limit? Something completely different.
Well, here it doesn't say V'onisu.
I know, but here it says
K'koil Rom,
K'koil Sabaruchu. It's a completely different limit.
Because it doesn't have that lashon, it doesn't say V'onisu. Here it says, Omar lehem k'adamai melech averus, and it has to be loud enough that they should hear. There, by mikra bikurim, it's supposed to say b'kol rom. You're not talking to anybody else, you're talking to the Rabbanu Shalom. So it should be b'kol rom. Could have just as well been b'lachash, the Rabbanu Shalom could hear b'lachash also. That's a din of kol rom. But here, by the duchening, should be k'adamai melech averus. It's not a din of kol rom, really. It should be loud enough that they should hear. There should be a tzirup between the mevarach and the mizbarach. The Omer Rav Chizde has another comment, and the Gemara is going to say, we don't pask like Rav Chizde. He claims, Naktinon, I have a tradition, which is not true, his tradition is incorrect. Naktinon, I have a tradition, Koyen Kore Kohanim. Who should scream out, Kohanim? Who should scream out? So Taisa says, the Gabbai in Shul, or the Rav should call out, our practice is, the Chazan screams it out. So Rav Chizda claims a Kohen should scream out Kohanim. What's up? A Kohen should scream out Kohanim. The Ein Yisrael Kori Kohanim. Not B'davka a Kohen and not another Yisrael. Shenema, Omor Lahem. Omor Lahem means we should request of the Kohanim that they should duchen. So the mashmoyes is amira mishalohem today. The tzivui that they should duchen should come from one of the kohanim. So the Gemara, we don't paskin like that. The hilchus of kavase the abaye, we paskin like abaye. If you only have one kohen, you don't scream out kohen, you don't scream out kohen. But this, who should scream out? Dafka kohen, not Israel. So we do not paskin like Rav Chisda. We paskin fakert that the one who calls out should bedafka not be a kohen. Should bedafka not be a kohen? The gabai who calls out or the rav who calls out?
Can he be a Levi?
Yeah, it should be anybody other than a kohen, either a Levi or a Yisrael. He should bedafka not be a kohen.
Bottom Rashi on Lamed Kaf.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be saying that he, if the Shkia Tzibur is a Kayin, he says it. If it's Yisrael or Levi, he doesn't say it.
Okay, yeah. That's how Rav Chisda says. The one who calls that Kayin has to be a Kayin. Right. Has to be one of the Kayin, either the Chazan is a Kayin or someone else. Yeah. Should be a Kayin. We don't paskin like that. Right. If paskin should be daf, cannot be a Kayin. The Gemara is going to discuss later. The Gemara is going to discuss the Mishnah and Brochus. What if the Chazan is a kohen? Does he duchen or not? Does he step? Does he turn around in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz? Because when he duchens, he has to face the Tzibum. When he says the Shemone Esrei, he faces the Hechel. So does he turn around in the middle and duchen, then he turns back around and finishes the Shemone Esrei? Not. So the Gemara is going to discuss it soon.
According to Rav Chisda, would this imply that you need a minimum of three kohanim? That one kohen should
I mean, it doesn't make sense. He's Mitzaveh himself, so you would need three Kohanim. Could be.
The Rashi says it, when he says Kohanim, he's referring to the Shevet Kohanim. According to Rashi.
I don't know, we don't pass on like Rav Chisda, yeah. I guess so. Coming to Rav Chisda, you need three Kohanim? Could be. Then the Gemara has the Agadat, the Zomer of Shema Levi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates the Duchen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mesabah the Birchas Kohen. He likes it very much. As it says, V'som Mashmi al B'nei Yisrael V'ani Abarachim. I want them to give the Baruch Hu. B'nei Shalom wants very much. Then Rabbi Shimon Levi has another member called Kohen Shemavarach Mizbarach. A Kohen who gives the Duchening. Sometimes you have Kohanim who are moody. He's not in good mood today. He doesn't like the tzibur. He doesn't want to give them a bracha. So the Gemara says, if a kohen gives a bracha, he himself will be blessed. Sheinu mevarach. If the kohen is in a lousy mood and he doesn't want to say the duchening, he will be missing a bracha. Sheinu mevarach. Shenema. Kodesh Baruch told Avraham Avinu, Va'avorcha mevarachecho. Whoever blesses the Jewish people is promised by Kodesh Baruch, he will be blessed. So the kohanim give a bracha, they themselves will be zecha to a bracha. So it always makes sense. Yes, to give a bracha. Yes, to give a bracha. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote this, and Magen Avraham quotes the Zohar, that if the Kohen is in a bad mood and he's angry at the Tzibur, it's a sakana that he should say the Birchas Kohanim. So I remember I used to daven in the Minyan in Washington Heights where the Kohen didn't get along with the rest of the people because the Kohen was from Berlin and the others were from Hamburg and the others were not Yekis. They were Ost Juden and Hamburg, and the coin was from Berlin, and for some unknown reason these two didn't blend in. I don't know why. So they used to have me always sit next to this coin because I got along with everybody. So the coin had nobody sitting on his left side and I sat on his right side. So he was sometimes he would be moody and he would be debating whether he should duchen or not. So they used to tell him all the time, the Zohar says that if you're angry at the tzibur, it's a sakona to say the duchening. For the kohen, no, sakana for the kohen. If he doesn't really, if he's angry at them, it doesn't really mean it. So it's a sakana for him to give the brachas.
I believe there is a question about the shatz also. The shatz doesn't like somebody in the tzibur. There is a question of whether we can.
If the shliach tzibur is a seinei, and he has in mind not to be mitzi somebody,
yeah,
so it says in the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, so he's not even mitzi the ohavim. Because the whole tzibur is treated as one unit. So he has to have a mind to be moitzi everybody. If he has a mind not to be moitzi one person, so he's not allowed to serve as the shliach tzibur, right? That's in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah quotes that. Menuchas Rosh Hashanah. Then the Rabbi Shimon Levi quotes a few members. Rabbi Shimon Levi is quoted, Kol kain she'eino elo leduchen. If a kain is there and he doesn't want a duchen, he's mevatel three mitzvahs. What are the three mitzvahs? Oiva b'shal l'shaseh, kosev aruchu, amar lahem, and mesama shmi. That's right. He's mevatel three mitzvahs. We said the Rambam says, whenever you have a kefil alav or a kefil ha-mitzvah, it only counts once in the minyan ha-mitzvahs. You don't count it as three mitzvahs. Ha'idik Mar says, oiva b'shal l'shaseh. It's an exaggeration. It's just l'chizak v'inyan. It's really not three mitzvahs esay. In the listing of the 613, the Rambam claims you don't count the kefil ha-mitzvah many times. It's not really three mitzvahs. It's just repeated for emphasis. And other gaonim and other rishonim say no. When you have the same mitzvah repeated three times, it's farechent as three mitzvahs. And you have the same mitzvah repeated four times, you get four times malchus. The Rambam says it can't be. The exact same lav repeated four times is just for emphasis. There's only one lav and there's only one malchus. That's machlekes. How do you read this? Oiva b'shal l'shesh, it's to be taken literally or just a guzman. Rab says not only is he mevatel the mitzvahs if he doesn't duchen, it's even worse. Choshishim shem ben grushim mechalutzahu. If he's never going to go duchen, if he duchens once in a while, but he does want to duchen all the time, it's a tircha. So he's mevatel a mitzvah of duchening, but he's not causing aspersions on his status as kohen. Once in a while he gets the first aliyah, he does the pinyon ha-ben. Once in a while he does things, but if he never does the pinyon ha-ben, and he never duchens, and he never gets ruach hayam akeva, never comes, he's never in shul on time to get the first aliyah, so he's causing that there should be a chashash on his status as kohuna. So that's considered a serious avera. What's a serious avera? So I don't think it's the ben grush machalutzah to what's so bad. So that's mistama pshat in the pasuk v'kidashto. The Gemara says v'kidashto, you have to preserve the yuchsin and klal Yisrael. You have to be mechabed the kohen to get the first aliyah. Everything is part of v'kidashto. You should preserve. We are amatalisa. We are a nation with three parts: kohanim, levim, Yisraelim. So it's important to preserve the yuchsin. He's a kohen. He's a levi. He's a mamzer. He's not a mamzer. The Gemara says hakar lachaver mamzer sofik esaraboyim. He calls someone a mamzer and he isn't. So the Gemara says, you give him makas mardis. What avera did he violate? So remember, Rav Soloveitchik thought he violates v'kidashta. V'kidashta means you have to preserve the yuchsin in klal Yisrael. You have in America, a lot of times, someone gets married, and he never goes to shul, he doesn't know whether he's a kohen or levi, so he doesn't know what it's all about. So you have to ask him, are you a kohen? You have to start figuring out, is he a kohen or is he a levi? So Rav Soloveitchik, yeah. You have to know what the yichus is. So Rav Soloveitchik introduced in his school in Maimonides that so many people who are not observant there, so he introduced, there were mevara from kindergarten on, from first grade on, who's a kohen, who's a levi. And he insisted when they signed the name on the school, on the papers in school, on their exam papers, and their homework, they have to write Yaakov HaKohen or Yaakov HaLevi. So that even if they'll grow up and they won't be religious, but they know that they're a kohen or a levi. A lot of people grow up, they don't know if they're a kohen or a levi. No, that was another thing. The Rambam says that you shouldn't ask a question, who is this Shegetz to give me a bracha? I'm a big tzaddik. He's a nobody. He's a Mechal Shabbos. He eats dreifus. He runs around with women, other women. What's going on? So the Rambam quotes, he's not giving me the bracha. It's not that he's such a tzaddik, he hasn't his part to give bracha. The Rabbanu Shalom gives the bracha. He doesn't give the bracha. So the Rambam says, Shar Averis don't pass a coin from Duchani. Only Averis are coin Shargis on Nefesh. A coin Shavar Avadizorah. But Shar Averis don't pass. So the Mishnah Brura of the coin violates Isuri Kuhuna. That's a Mishnah. The Mishnah in Bechari says, if the coin is Metamila Mason, or the coin is married to a Grusha or a Gioris, he violated the special laws of Kuhuna, then we don't permit him to be Makar of Karbanis on the Mizbeach. So there's a Machloikas HaGoinim. Does that penalty of the Rabbanon even extend to duchening or not? So the Shulchan Aruch adopted the stricter position that the Mishnah has the penalty of the Rabbanon kind of violates the Kuhuna Dikadinim. He's not allowed to be Makar of Karbanis. Even applies, he's not allowed to duchen in shul either. The Mishnah Berurah is surprised. He says the majority of the Goinim were of the opinion that that penalty is only with respect to Akrobus Karbanis. So he says it's surprising why the Shulchan Aruch has adopted the stricter opinion that the penalty even applies, the kohen is metal mason, not even allowed to duchen. So that's, we follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch. If he violates the kohuna dikadinim, but if he doesn't violate, he doesn't go to funerals, and he's not married to a grusha, but he doesn't keep kosher, he doesn't keep taras hamishpach, he doesn't keep Shabbos. So then the Rambam sounds like shara there is don't pass on. So the Mishnah Brura writes a chiddush that a mechal Shabbos befreshe dina kaakum. So since Ovid Ovid Azores pasul leduchin, so mechal Shabbos befreshe is also pasul to duchin. So that's Rav Soloveitchik, and Rav Moshe Feinstein has a whole tshuva about that. They built up a whole argument against that Mishnah Brura. They thought mechal Shabbos is dina kaakum in the mumris of the person. He's a very big mumer. But over here, the Ovid Avod Zorah is not allowed to duchen. It's not because he's a mumer. Even if he's Ovid Avod Zorah b'shoigeg, also he's not allowed to duchen. Is Nishke mumer? If he's Ovid Avod Zorah b'shoigeg, it's a din because it's mos lagavoya. If he's Ovid Avod Zorah, it's a double mos. The Mechal Shabbos b'fasi is not necessarily, not at all, the same degree of mius as Ovid Avod Zorah. So that's why Rav Soloveitchik thought that we shouldn't follow that Mishnah Brura. Rav Moshe also has a tshuva like that. He thinks he shouldn't follow that Mishnah Brura. That one is Mechal Shabbos Befes, he's Dina Kovid Avod Zorah, therefore he's not allowed to duchen. He thought that there was no tzushtel. The Chavetz Chaim has a Sefer Likutei Halachos. He wrote like a riff. So we have a riff on all the Mesichtes that are Halacha Lamaisa. So the Chavetz Chaim wrote the Likutei Halachos, like the Hilchos Arif, and the Kotchim Dikim Mesichtes. On Psochim, he writes as a din, that a person who's Ovid Avod Zorah, called Ben Echel or Yoichel Bo, you're not allowed to let him eat Korban Pesach. So the Chafetz Chaim writes there in his Chidushim, in the Zevach Toiv, Zevach Toido, on the bottom of the page of the Kutei Halachos, he writes a Chiddush, that a Mechal Shabbos befares a Dina Kovid Avod Zorah, so you wouldn't let him eat Korban Pesach either. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought is also Shver. He thought, how does he know to extend it? The Din is called Benechel HaYechel Bo, is Mishan Esnakar or Maisav Lo'aviv Shabbat Shemai, if he's Ovid Avod Zorah. But if it's not Ovid Avod Zorah, Mechal Shabbos befares a Dina Ka'akum. A Dina Ka'akum, that he's not allowed to eat Korban Pesach, that's a big Chiddush. He thought Dina Ka'akum in the Mumras HaGavra, but here Ovid Avod Zorah is not allowed to eat Korban Pesach, even if he's Ovid Avod Zorah B'Shegeg. It's not because of the Mumras, it's because it's Mo'os Lagavoya. So he thought that these two Chidushim of the Chafetz Chaim, by Korban Pesach and by Duchening, he thought that they were highly questionable. That's what Digras Moshe has, the same tshuva, the same tainus. So the Gemara says that if the Kohen doesn't duchen, he's mevatel three mitzvah seseh, and Rav says not only that, he's in violation of Yikidashto, choshishim, he causes us to wonder about him, shemet ben gushim achalutz, maybe he's a cholo. So the Gemara, are they disagreeing? The Gemara says, v'lo pligu, hod desalik lefrokim, if once in a while he does duchen, or he takes the first aliyah, or he participates in the pidyon aben, so everybody knows he's a Kohen. He doesn't want to bother to duchen, so then he's not in violation of ikidashtoi. He doesn't cast aspersions on his own status, maybe he's a cholo. The whole lo salik lefrakim, if he never duchens, he never takes the first aliyah, and he never participates in pidyon, never does anything, then not only is he mevatel the mitzvah of duchening, he's doing something even worse, he's in violation of ikidashtoi, he causes that we should be choshish, maybe he's a cholo, which is considered a more serious avera than stam, to be mevatel the mitzvah of duchening. Tosafot quotes in Gemara Chulin that Abaye and Rava were both Kohanim. So Abaye was a Kohen, he was busy learning, and he didn't have time all the time to duchen. And
he came from Beis Eilu.
Yeah. So the Gemara says, but an Erev Yom Kippur, he would always hear, Maile Yom Kippur, an Erev Yom Kippur, he always took Zralach Yom HaKeh, but you shouldn't forget that he's a Kohen. You shouldn't cause anybody to think that he's Nishkin Kohen. Apparently, all year long, he never got the first aliyah. He never duchen, never got the first aliyah, never participated in Pidyon HaBen, never did anything. Once a year, Erev Yom Kippur, he took Zralach Hayam HaKeva. He has to show that he's a Kohen. So that's Taisa shows. That's the same as our Gemara. A Kohen should never act in such a way that he never does anything that people will think that he's Nishkin Kohen. That's a violation
maybe
of the
Kiddush. Maybe he thought he'll become a Kohen Godel.
Pardon me?
Maybe he thought that maybe he will become a Kohen Godel to do the Avodah. That is why he was concerned about the Erev Yom Kippur.
Okay. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara just says to be lachzuke nafshe bekohani. He should be, the people shouldn't forget that he really is a Kohen. That's the lashon in the Gemara that Taisa quotes. They should just remember that he's a Kohen. In this week's Sedra, we have The Torah writes the story of the Akedah. What is the lesson that we learn from the Akedah? So, one of the important lessons, you learn a lot of things, but one of the important lessons is that we all love the members of our family. People love their spouses and they love their children. So we're not supposed to have an independent love for the members of the family. The pasuk says in Kriyat Shema, "V'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha." You have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of your heart. So how do you love the members of your family? Isn't a violation of b'chol levavcha? You're supposed to love the Rebbeinu Shlom with your whole heart. So Rav Chaim Balozhin in the Nefesh HaChaim talks about the word b'chol levavcha. What does the word kol mean? Kol means all, or kol means kol dehu? The Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim. Kol harig nefesh, the pasuk says, ishkiyaka kol nefesh adam, most humans. What do you mean kol nefesh adam? So the Gemara says, kol nefesh adam means, let's say, two people hit him over the head and he died. First, I shoot him, and he's a geises, and then someone else shoots him and he finally dies. So the first one is not chayv misa, he didn't kill kol nefesh adam. What about the second one? Is the second one chayv misa or not? So that's a machlekes hatanaim and Bava Kamma at the end of the second parak. So one Tana says kol nefesh, the whole nefesh. So not only is the first one pata, the second one is also pata. The other Tana says, I think we pass them like that. They're both pata from Isa. Second Tana says no, kol dehu nefesh. The first one didn't kill him in Gansen, he still lived on, and the second one killed him. The second one actually killed him. He didn't kill kol nefesh, he killed kol dehu. So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanaim. How do you interpret kol? Kol means kol. For me, it is a kol dehu. So Rav Chaim Balozhin says, but the Tana who says kol dehu means the last kol dehu, not the first kol dehu. So how can he say you have to say Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha means with the last kol dehu of your heart, not with the first kol dehu? You should love God with a little of your heart, and then leave over room in your heart to love your spouse and your family members. You have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with your whole heart. From A to Z, from everything. So where is there room to love anybody else? So the answer is, if a Jew is married to a Jewish spouse and he has Jewish children, and they're keeping mitzvahs, so part of his love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Baruch Shalom wants us to get married. Baruch Shalom wants us to have a family. Those are able to have family. So the Baruch Shalom wants us to get along with our wives. So our love HaKadosh Baruch Hu spills over to love the members of the family. But what if there's going to be a conflict between loving our family? Sometimes the family doesn't keep mitzvahs properly. There's a conflict between loving the members of the family, loving the Rebbeinu Shalom. So then if you're going to love the family, it's a violation of Ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha. So over here, there was a conflict. The Rebbeinu Shalom says, Kach nes bincha she'echitcha asher ahavta. You love your son. Do you love me? I want you to bring your son as a korban. So there's a conflict between his love towards his son and love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Halacha requires Ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha. The love towards the members of the family is supposed to be part of the love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not an independent love. And whenever there's a conflict, so the love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to win out. That's a problem. A lot of times people are so used to loving the members of their family, so even the wife decides she's not going to keep Taras HaMishpacha anymore, and the husband still loves his wife. What are you loving your wife? Don't you love the Rebbeinu Shalom? What is he loving his wife? He loves his children, even though they don't keep Shabbos, they don't keep Kasher, they don't keep mitzvahs. What is he loving their children? Not supposed to love them. The love for the others is supposed to be flowing out from the love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to lead normal lives. He wants us to love our family members.
Yeah, then the question of the family.
Okay.
The whole family.
Yeah. Okay. That's what there's a famous medrash that says that when Yankel Avinu was separated from Yosef for so many years, he finally comes down to Egypt and he sees Yosef. So it says that they started crying and they started kissing each other. So Rashi quotes the Medrash that Yankel Avinu is saying Kriyat Shema. What's Yankel Avinu saying Kriyat Shema? Now is the time to say Kriyat Shema. He hasn't seen his son for so many years. So give him a kiss, say hello. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say over the Darshanim, said like that. He hadn't seen Yosef for so many years, and he's so overwhelmed when he sees him, and then he realized, what's going on over here? I have such a love for my son, it seems to be independent of my love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he felt it wasn't time for Kriya Shema now. He already Shengedavin Shachris, Shengedavin Meiriv. He was overwhelmed with a love for his son. So he said, I better chazer what it says in Kriya Shema. You have to Hashem Alkecha, the whole of Avchi. You have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of your heart. And the love for your family members is supposed to be an extension of your love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he just felt now is the time to review, to repeat this Yisoid in Shmiras HaMitzvahs. The love for other people is supposed to flow. It's not supposed to be an independent love. It's supposed to flow from the love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Shakayo.
I just asked, we have 20 minutes.